Ah, the sounds of pomp and circumstance. Graduation for high schoolers this year was a whole lot different than in most years. And deciding what to do after high school has become a problem as well. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Matt Kaler. He is director of the College Counseling Program at Madison Country Day School. He previously worked as counseling director in Wyoming and guidance counselor in Tennessee. Talking with him about college admissions and advising in this time of COVID-19. So, does your high school grad have questions? Is he or she right next to you now listening in? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, and from your students as well. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Matt Kaler, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been working as a counselor for quite a number of years. What kinds of questions are you usually dealing with at this time of the year?
A lot of what I'm doing this year is, for some of the students, it's still helping them make a decision with May 1st that passed recently. That is typically the college decision or commitment day. But there's always a few students here and there that, you know, things change. Sometimes a financial situation changes. And so I'm still working with some of the seniors. But for the most part, I'm working with the juniors on building college lists. Doing some programming, helping getting graduation, the ceremony set, and doing a transition program with the seniors as they adjust from high school life, living in their parents' homes, to going off to college or university.
Yeah, and come this fall, they may still be in their parents' home, but taking
That's
college courses,
question.
Yeah, that is the big question. I teach at the UW-Madison, and we're not sure if we'll be having students on campus or if they will be, if it'll all be online. So there are some big things. What do you say to kids and their parents who are upset about missing their graduation ceremony, by the way?
Yeah, that's a difficult conversation because obviously you want to be respectful. You want to celebrate all the years of hard work that they've put into us and this amazing rite of passage. It's a rite of passage into adulthood, and just wanting to honor that, but knowing that it cannot be what they had originally expected. So at MCDS we are trying to do different things as a lot of the high schools in the area are of making sure we are honoring these students, that we are celebrating them and their families, and all much work that they have put in.
And it's a lot of virtual work here. I know in my academic department, life sciences communication, for our college grads this year, we had a quite nice online ceremony with parents and the kids, the students online, and not long speeches or anything, but everybody got to be introduced and with their photos, and it probably about was as good as you could do. That you mentioned May 1st as the deadline for deciding what college to attend. Is that kind of extended now?
Yeah, many schools have actually pushed that back into June 1st or even later, just because they want to be respectful of all the uncertainties that are out there right now, and these families making really substantial decisions regarding finances, regarding if they're okay sending their child across the country, sometimes even across the oceans to different countries for college. And they're being really flexible and really responsive. I've been really happy to see the schools that our students are working with, just giving the time and attention that our students and families really need at this time.
Matt Kaler, our guest today, taking a look at high school graduates and some advice for high schoolers as they are now going off to college or for other experiences. Maybe you have a junior in high school. and have some questions about that. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. What are some of the options for grads who want to go to college but are concerned about the virus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, many students are, they have, you know, committed to a certain school, they have deposited, and they are keeping their fingers crossed that things in the fall are going to go move ahead as normal as they possibly can, and they will be going off and packing up their cars or their suitcases and heading off to school like they had been planning just a few months ago. But there are some of the other conversations I've been having with students and parents have been around deferring their enrollment a year or a semester. You know, so that is having conversations with the admissions offices at these universities directly to see what that might look like. Students who hadn't previously been thinking about a gap year of, you know, seeing what that might look like. But that's just a tough thing to do this late in the game. Typically, when a student thinks about taking a year off between high school and college, you know, that's something that they have planned and they have, you know, there's procedures in place. There is, they've thought about financing that year, you know, what their goals are for that gap year. And trying to do this so last minute can be definitely a challenge. And then other students are looking at starting, instead of taking online classes, you know, at their university for possibly a semester or a year, wherever that might be, is, you know, staying home and instead rolling at, you know, one of our, you know, great two-year schools, would be Madison College or one of the UW system schools.
So there's options out there. I've noticed on Facebook the last week or two that friends posting their child is taking a gap year. I think a problem with a gap year is, what, as you say, what do you do? I mean, if you, like, I've known people who took a gap year and they went off to Europe and, you know, did things like that. But in this day of COVID-19, it's going to be, that's going to be a problem, too.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, again, whether it be a service experience, whether it be an international experience, or just students who need to work for a year to help finance their continued education. I mean, look at our unemployment numbers. I mean, are these students going to be able to find jobs? And then, yeah, with travel restrictions, you know, safety worldwide, there's just so many unknowns.
Yeah, there really, really are. And I was thinking of, you talked about volunteering, and I know my own daughter had a volunteer program lined up for the summer, at least part of the summer, to spend some time in New Orleans working. And, of course, that got canceled. And so she's not, you know, that's something that she is not able to do. What have colleges been doing to help incoming freshmen make decisions?
So much of April for schools, for students who have been accepted to, you know, they're down to like two schools between that April 1st when students find out all their decisions and May 1st. A lot of colleges and universities would do admitted student days and programming, where sometimes students would go back to these colleges and universities. They travel to them, or they do it, you know. There are different kinds of programs for them to help make that decision. All those had to be moved virtually and online. But the college and universities are really, they've stepped up their game with their virtual tours, with their live, just again through different, you know, online platforms, information sessions, financial aid sessions, really offering up all of their resources to help these incoming freshmen make these decisions and to, you know, have as much clarity, you know, as they can offer.
Do you think, there are many schools, colleges, frankly, that are in trouble in terms of numbers of people and what they've lost this past year because of COVID-19? Might it be easier to get admitted to some of these schools now than it may not have been in the past?
Yeah, that's been an interesting question, and one that I've had with our current seniors, and then as I am working with our juniors as they're building their college list for next year and whatnot. what I've noticed from our students is that the colleges and universities are utilizing, especially the highly selective ones, utilizing their wait lists more this year. We've had more students, MCDS students, who have received offers at highly selective schools off the wait list this year than I've seen in the past. And it makes sense for the universities. You know, when they are looking at how many students they accept that will matriculate into that school, with all the unknowns out there, you know, they had to utilize this wait list more to see if they can still, you know, build the class that they really desire coming in this fall.
Very interesting. Our guest today, Matt Kaler, is director of the College Counseling Program at Madison Country Day School. Previously worked as counseling director in Wyoming, guidance counselor in Tennessee. It was great to have him with us today to talk about those 2020 high school graduates and the other kids in high school, too. He may have some good advice for freshmen, sophomores, and juniors as well as we move along. So I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with our guest. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Matt Kaler. He's director of the College Counseling Program at Madison Country Day School. We've been talking about some of the obstacles this year's high school graduates are facing as they look toward their future goals. What difficulties are you or your graduate facing? Do you have questions about maybe a junior or sophomore as well as seniors? Love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. We have, as I was kind of half listening to the news, I was thinking about what you were talking about in relation to colleges. I'm wondering, tech schools, are they having some of the same problems? I know a lot of training at these schools are hands-on. How is that being addressed?
Yeah, I am actually, with our small numbers at Madison Country Day School, we have a graduating class of 34 this year. And most of our students tend to matriculate to larger universities and small liberal arts schools. So I am actually not as informed on the technical colleges.
I wonder, I'm even wondering about the colleges themselves with the chemistry lab, for example, or other classes where labs are involved. You wonder how that training is going to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so many programs are really and pride themselves on being hands-on programs at any of these, at two-year schools, at four-year schools. Even with our MCDS at home, our virtual, you know, finishing up the school year program, with our International Baccalaureate IB lab courses, you know, our teachers have had to be really creative in how to, you know, make sure these our students are still getting these experiences and, you know, getting these skills solidified.
How are they doing it?
With the lab courses, I mean, they've had to put off a few things. What's actually, we're lucky with the IB program is that it is a two-year program for our high school students, our juniors and seniors. So with the juniors, we can be a little more flexible with what they're doing at home. And then, obviously, with the hope that we're all back at school in the fall, then making up for some of that, in the fall for our students. But it's still, you know, there are, with the technology, some virtual type things, with videos, a little bit of, artificial intelligence and whatnot, able to make up some of those, those skills. But still nothing like being in the class with a teacher, with that lab equipment and whatnot.
Yeah. And an email from Patrick. He's wondering if you can provide any insight into the idea of a rising junior, for example, being able to take in-person visits in the fall, perhaps in conjunction with an overnight experience with students or perhaps a student athlete in a specific sports team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, we're still in that let's see type of situations. Those are so important to really get on campus. And if you are a recruited athlete, you know, to go through and you're able to, you know, sit in with the team and have, you know, go through a practice with them, those overnight stays, eating in the dining halls, sitting in on a class are invaluable in this whole process. And unfortunately, they're just not possible. So again, we hope that that's going to be the case. My guess is even if they are letting students come back, that they are going to be restricting the number of visitors, still with social distancing measures, how many students can be, you know, in dorms, all those kind of things. These are the questions that college and university are facing right now, and they're looking at all the different contingencies moving into the fall.
You know, grads not only have to be concerned about health, but also the economy.
Mm-hmm.
How may this downturn affect how kids pay for college?
Yeah, that's a great question, Larry. You know, having worked as a, you know, still being a school counselor during the recession back in, you know, 08 and 09 and 10 and things there too, it was interesting to see the decisions that students and parents, you know, were making. You know, were they as willing to let their child go to a school with a higher price tag or sticker price than, you know, a little less expensive? You know, really these important questions on whether you call it a cost, you know, on investment or return on investment. These are things that, you know, students and parents have to be really thoughtful about. And then you look at our, you know, debt crisis when it comes to, you know, student borrowing, and it gets real really fast.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to have had a 529 program. Mm-hmm. For my own daughter, but I'm, you know, looking at that now, I don't know, I don't even like looking.
No. It's,
I was thinking that I had a, you know, a pretty good amount of money for her schooling, and, you know, that quickly went down by a third or more. I haven't looked lately.
Yeah.
But it's, it may cause a lot of people just to take a different look at a different place.
Yeah.
If they were thinking about going farther away, maybe staying closer to home in state, for example, where you can, where it'll cost you less probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where, you know, part, when we look at our, you know, within the program here at MCDS, our best fit philosophy that we have, that financial fit is really important, along with the academic fit, with the geographic fit, the social fit, all those different things, and then the admissions fit, obviously. When they're building their list, that has to be taken into consideration, because these unknowns, this crept up on us, and it's, you know, now it's a part of every conversation that I'm having with students and their families moving forward. So it's, you know, that's that piece you have to be really aware of. You don't want to get yourself in trouble, or, you know, it can be really unfortunate.
You know, maybe it might be worth it. I think let's do this. Let's go through the whole process for a student.
Mm-hmm.
Say probably it starts at the junior level, pretty much.
Yeah, we're lucky enough here at MCDS that I start meeting with students as freshmen and sophomores, you know, not quite as much, but just to help, you know, instructing them on the process, going to some of the vocabulary terminology. But when they hit their junior year, you know, that's when we really start meeting very consistently. And, you know, it starts with just getting to know the students themselves, you know, so building those relationships, freshman, sophomore year, especially junior year, and looking at what they're looking for. And then just with my own knowledge, I get the opportunity to visit a lot of campuses and universities all over the country, and you know, so having that information, which is great right now with students not being able to take those visits. Our juniors, a lot of times that spring break is when they're in their families, they've been planning to do a trip and looking at colleges and universities, or the summer after their junior year, they'll be, that's the plan, but now with these schools closed. So So being able to provide them with just ideas, looking at what they're interested in. You know, when I gave you that list of best fit, you know, if they're looking for, you know, direct admit nursing programs, okay, let's look at schools that have that. Some of them really want to stay. You know, they want to stay closer to home. Some really want to get far away. So there's a lot of different moving parts. And again, knowing the students, helping them through the process. One thing I've been really happy about is, you know, some of the databases that are out there that let students and families go and check out the schools. I brought this up before, just the virtual tours, the admission information sessions. I think being able to, you know, delve into that, get that information, and then hopefully as soon as things open up, being able to, you know, be able to have decided, you know, these are the three schools that I really want to take a look at, and then that's where the visits are going to go.
What do you think about this year? I know a number of colleges for the coming year are not considering or not requiring ACT or SAT testing among the students. What are your thoughts for students? Should they take it any, you know, of course it's over for this year. Well, I guess maybe not. You could still take ACTs for sure, I know, or retake them. What are your thoughts on those SAT, ACTs?
Yeah. I think it's great that more schools are going test optional just because of, you know, the plans that students had with taking these tests. Just, you know, when they're doing their preparation, if students are choosing to do that, a lot of times they're getting ready for a certain test. In our case, a lot of our juniors were preparing for that April ACT. That was the one they were going to take. When that was taken away from them, now they have to, you know, reevaluate. So the schools and having had conversations with people on the other side of the desk from the college side. In a way, they're excited about their schools moving to this test optional admissions because they really get to kind of reset and look at what's truly important to building that class and admitting students, looking at what kind of citizen they're going to be and community member when they move onto that campus. They can still gather plenty of great information off the transcript. Sometimes, obviously, that's going to be changed as schools are going to pass-fail and things like that. But this is going to be a little, you know, some new terrain that the colleges are navigating. But I think it's going to help them, some schools that maybe have relied too much on this test score, you know, this single Saturday morning, that can be a really high stress situation for these students, to dig in a little deeper and look at who the student truly is.
I would definitely agree with that. I do see that a lot of the schools, colleges, will post the average, you know, ACT score, mm-hmm. for example. Students who come here, the average ACT score is whatever it is.
Yeah, you can find that information, yeah.
And you've kind of got that information to maybe use as a guide, but I like your approach, or I like the approach of taking a broader look at the entire student and what that person's done. Well, let's take some calls. You can join in, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Joshua in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I had a question. I know that my daughter was an IB student a few years ago, and has there been any serious consideration to really engaging some of the tech schools to allow both IB and AP students to take some of those university-level courses online while they're in high school, possibly in lieu of some of that face-to-face IB education that normally happens in the classroom?
Yeah, what do you think? Has there been anything on that, Matt?
Typically... he's talking about his daughter being in an IB, and that's the curriculum that we have for high school students here at MCDS.
What is IB?
IB is International Baccalaureate, and it is a very rigorous academic curriculum where students take courses for 2 years. So they pick six different courses, one in English, one in history, a science, a math, a world language they're required to take, and then an extra course, which a lot of times is in the arts or maybe a second science. So they really, it's great because they delve into the depth and the breadth of this information. Our students, along with that, they all write an extended essay. They do service component of that. A lot of some hands-on laboratory components with the science and whatnot. And it's a really rigorous program, but because of it, it's tough to add on other what some schools do, like dual enrollment type classes. And it can be a little limiting because of, the requirements of this IB program. When we have students who have other interests, a lot of times that's where the summers come in. And they might be going off to colleges and universities to do a summer class that a lot of times can count for, for college credit. So that's one of the things, unfortunately, going into the summer, a lot of those programs have either gone online or they're just not going to be available. We have a great advanced science research program at MCDS where students are placed in labs at UW for an internship the summer between their junior and senior year. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that this summer. So that's a piece that the students are going to have to, they're grieving that opportunity. But, we're going to have to figure out a way to share that with the colleges and universities that, unfortunately, they aren't going to be able to do these things that are going to typically set them apart as they're looking at, being applicants for certain schools.
Yeah, that's it's too bad. Joshua, thank you. Helmuth in Elk Creek Lake, your turn. Hi.
Yes, you have made no mention of the military.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
as a future. Well, what do you think?
I think that's a great option. Every year we have students who look at that. For our last year's class, we have two students who are doing the Wisconsin National Guard, proudly serving in our state and our country right now. Sent students off to a student who's actually graduating soon from West Point this year. And I think other students who just look at that as, that is a great next step for them in terms of discipline, in terms of giving back, just wanting to serve their country. Yeah, sorry I didn't bring that up, but I haven't had any conversations with any of our students right now, our current seniors, but, that is another way with all the different branches for students to, move forward, and whether it be financially helping them out with making, decisions, the possibilities that way, leadership experience, all those kind of things. And as more colleges and universities have really great programs for veterans who are returning. After their service, returning to schools, there's a lot of fantastic options out there.
Yeah, there really is. Thank you, Helmuth. I appreciate the call. Veronica emailed to ask how parents can determine the quality of online courses.
I would say that always looking for courses from an accredited college or university, if you're looking at online courses for, I'm considering this is the college side of things, and then looking at how long a school's been doing it. As schools, and having some, friends who teach, at UW as you do, Larry, folks who that hasn't been part of their, teaching requirements has been able to do online, everyone's figuring it out. But looking at some programs and universities that have been doing it for a while, that have some respected and well-established programs already in place, that's where I would tend to look just for, again, just more substantial and just the higher quality programs.
Yeah, and there's nothing that can beat experience doing it, for sure. I was thinking my own department, which is life sciences communication, where quite a few of our courses have been taught online in summer programs for quite a few years now. So we have people who are really good at, you learn by doing a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think that is extremely helpful. And I also think that in certain schools that have good advisors, IT advisors that can help professors with their teaching, that also, considering you were talking about this, considering sort of the source of the online courses as another way to kind of look at it. Well, man, there's so what's the hardest thing you've had to tell students this year? Are the most challenging?
Just because they are really excited, 17- and 18-year-olds who are finishing up a high school career. You know, when we had to cancel prom, that was tough. You know, that we're having to get pretty creative with our graduation ceremony that's coming up next Friday. You know, just all of these rites of passage, these things that students work so hard in and just want to celebrate that next step. But they get it. They understand that they're still lucky to have their health. They're still lucky to have their friends. They're still, you know, parents that are, you know, hopefully still, you know, employed and whatnot. So, you know, they get that perspective, but sometimes it's tough to be able to, you know, shake yourself out of that 17, 18-year-old about to graduate from high school bubble.
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes it's tough for the teachers, too, and the professors. You know, here are students that you've worked with, you as an advisor. You've worked with these kids now for years, and you develop a relationship with them. And then you're kind of prematurely cutting them loose, or when things happen that you wish would never have happened, it's hard for the advisors as well.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, at a school at MCDS, where so much of what we do here well is based on those strong relationships that we have. So, yeah, it's tough not knowing when you're going to be able to see somebody in person again. You know, hopefully we'll do our online graduation, and then later this summer or even the fall, or we come back when they're coming back from their winter breaks, being able to do an in-person alumni gathering, a celebration. You know, we're hoping that something like that can happen so we can have a little bit more of that closure. But, you know, it's just it's a different world out there.
So any resources that you might think of that parents or grads could be looking at right now?
I think that what I found our families and students having the most success is reaching out directly to the admissions offices of colleges and universities. You know, whether it is for information purposes, whether it is just, hey, this is what we're thinking about, or, you know, if it's a financial thing. I've had families, you know, for seniors who their financial situation has, you know, changed since they completed the FAFSA earlier this year. So they're looking for an appeal for their financial aid award. And, you know, every school is a little bit different, but, you know, reaching out directly to, you know, that financial aid office and just telling them your story. And seeing, you know, what you can do, gathering that as much information as you can in order to make that best decision for, you know, this young adult moving forward.
Well, Matt, I'm sure you're with me in hoping that this pandemic is resolved and we can all get back to normal life.
Whatever that is, Larry.
Whatever it is. Matt, thanks a lot for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, sir. It's great talking to you.
Matt Kaler is director of the college counseling program at Madison Country Day School. Previously counseled in Wyoming and guidance counselor in Tennessee, so lots of experience. Great to have him with us today. Tomorrow at 11, we'll talk about Wisconsin wetlands, and then at 11:45, we'll check in with the International Crane Foundation. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, hey, thanks so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.